We were in the middle of Tosfos on Chaf Tes Amud Aleph. You were reading. Have you read enough? You read enough. Kasdan wants to read them.
Okay.
Ah, that's always the tricky part. The Mikom HaKom Einera L'Rabbeinu Tam. The Tosfos said that according to Rashi, you have to say that when the Mishnah lists Nosin with Mamzer and all the various Gemaras, when we say it's Daraisa, we really mean Mamzer, not Nosin. And Nosin is Agav Mamzer Nokte. And the one that's particularly difficult but not impossible is Elohein Alokin. Just as the Mishnah lists Grusha with Chalutza, so too the Mishnah lists Nosin with Mamzer, even though just as a Chalutza as the Rabbanan Sarashi could say, that a Nesina is only Drabbanan. As one of you pointed out, happens to be Rashi in the Mishnah Makos does say Nesina Mishum Los Hatin Bam. Okay. Mikol Makom, go ahead.
Mikol Makom, Eni Rabbein Tam Pirushel, Daha Masik Rabbe Baharel, Dibiru Tanit Lagunis Rechastos, Dachol Hecha, Dachash Nesina Vadi Mamzeret, Ayur Begeres, Kimohacha, Dibirachu Yuta Leit Lagunas.
Right, the Raya that when we talk about a Nesina here, one thing is clear. This, I think, nobody is going to argue on. When we talk about a Nesina in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras, we're talking about someone who is Jewish, someone who has converted. The shaila of whether or not that's a Nesina d'oraisa d'rabbanan, that's subject to debate. But it has to be that the Nesina that we are talking about is actually a Gioras, and the raya here is the Benachu Yusa les lo knas, that there is no knas. If this Nesina were somehow before she converted, there would be no knas because a Goya has no knas. How do you know a Goya has no knas? So Tosfos is going to prove it, but Tosfos doesn't actually provide a makor. So what is the makor that a Goya and a Shifcha also have no knas?
Not the Mishnah.
What?
Not the Mishnah.
No. Firstly, the Yerushalmi says, Tosfos will quote, that a Shifcha, even a Shifcha Mishumeres, who has been kept under a lock and key, now, assuming that you'll say Yesh Apotropos Larayos, so those who are familiar with the reference, nonetheless, there's no Knas. Why not? So this is Yerushalmi. I know it's clear from the Mishnah, and Tosfos is going to quote a Gemara that will spell it out, but Feirush in the first parent, but there is a Yerushalmi on our Sugya, on Gemalaf. We will see. The Yerushalmi will say Velosi Elisha. I think it's Velosi Elisha. So Prat Leshifcha, who has no Ishus. A Shifcha cannot marry. A Shifcha can live with an Eved, but they are not actually married. There is no Kiddushin there. And the same thing is true from a halachic perspective in terms of a Nacharis. While there is actually Ishus for a guy, there is a concept of Ishus Ish by Nacharim in terms of Arayas of Bnei Noach, but Legabi Kiddushin, it's not actually considered Ishus. So since a Nacharis and a Shifcha have no halachic Ishus, therefore it's not Velosi Elisha, therefore, certainly with a Jew, that might make it simpler. Therefore, the Yerushalmi says they're not bechlal knas. They're not bechlal the parasha of ones and mefata in terms of the knas itself and the specific dinim that apply by ones and mefata outside the parasha of Nezikin. What's that?
The limud is in the Bavli.
No, what to exclude a shifcha nachris? No.
I mean, not specifically.
No, I know. But that's the whole problem. The problem that both Bavli and Yerushalmi ask the same question. It says Velosi Elisha. So how come these women who are psulos lo have knas? But the Bavli in the end, in other words, the maskana, the Bavli's primary dea is that Velosi Elisha includes Chayve Lavin and Chayve Krasis. So if I want to play a little game with you, I'll say, well, an Eved is Chayve Lavin, and a Shifcha is Chayve Lavin, and a Goya is, let's say, Chayve Lavin, if you would like, you know, if it's even that. And therefore, and Tfisas Kiddushin doesn't matter, because we Paskin, even Chayve Krasis, have Knas, even there's no Tfisas Kiddushin. End of discussion. The Yerushalmi addresses that question, explains why the drasha can still exclude a shifra. And the same thing would apply to Gaya. When we see the Yerushalmi, you see it. But that is the... In other words, you know it from the Mishnah silence, you know it from the Gemara's explicit statement, but the makar itself, is. I don't know if it's found in the Bavli, it's found in the Yerushalmi. In fact, I assume, it's always a question to what extent which Rishonim were fluent or thoroughly baki in the Yerushalmi. Some Rishonim clearly use it much more than others, but I assume that if there were a better makor in the Bavli, Tosis probably would have quoted it. That's my assumption. Zach?
The makor is Rosi al Isha?
Yeah.
What do we darshan that times in the Bavli? Wouldn't that be cholik on the drushes?
No, in the Yerushalmi, that's what Daniel was asking. On Amud Beis, you have that the Velosi Elisha is darshan in the concept of this parsha, and yet the Bavli doesn't say anything about Shefcha. It just points out, it asks the Kasha, if it says Velosi Elisha, why does Kanas apply by these women where you're not allowed to marry them? Some of them, the marriage doesn't even work. In other words, the Choso and Choseva Chosimo, the Kishorin Tosin. So Velosi Elisha, and the central question, which we're not dealing with, we're going to deal with probably next week, in terms of Velosi Elisha, is when do you say that you could apply part of the parsha and not the rest? And when do you say that since you can't apply the rest of the parsha, you throw the entire thing out? Right? In other words, if you can't say Velosi Elisha, so then maybe you don't have Knas. Maybe you don't have anything else that's in the parsha. Or the same issue is being discussed in the Mishnah being in the fourth parak about Nara Marasa, Ein La Pesach Besav, or Ein La Av, and so on. So at what point do things that are normally carried out in the parsha become conditional? You know, is the whole parsha's application stipulated based upon that? And to what extent are they just details? But if you can't do them, it doesn't really matter. Okay? So it's really sort of a larger question. So the question is, to what extent Velosi Elisha, that's the Gemara, the Bavli and Yerushalmi ask the same question. If you assume Velosi Elisha is to marry her, so if he can't marry her, so maybe the whole parsha doesn't apply. That would be the issue. Okay. So anyway, Tosus continues and says, so the Gemara there is discussing a Ger Katan. And one of the rayas that they try to bring, there's a machlokas, or a discussion, whether he gidul yichol limchos. When you convert a child, when they reach the age of bar mitzvah, whether they have the right to be mocha and say, I don't want to be Jewish. So there is a sheet that the Gemara quotes, I think Rabbi Yosef, which says, he gidul yichol limchos, and then the Gemara challenges this. And one of the challenges, how is it that you would give a giyoresh nisgayer p'chusam yaskil moshem echad knas, maybe she's going to, when she becomes 12, she's going to say, I don't want to be Jewish, and she's going to be azla v'achla b'giyusa, this knas, which she's really not entitled to. So you see from that a goya is not entitled to a knas. So if a goya is not entitled to a knas, then obviously the nesina that is spoken about in this Mishnah must be a nesina after gerus. That's what Tosus's raya is here. Fine. Okay, so and from the fact that the Mishnah, that is a crucial Mishnah, by the way, which we will come to, because that's the Mishnah about Tfisas Kiddushin, about the rules of when Kiddushin binds, when the children are pasul. That is the beginning of what I call Maseches Yochsin, the end of the third and fourth parak of Kiddushin. It starts with that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that any situation where there is Kiddushin, meaning Kiddushin or Tosin, but there's an Aveir in marrying them, namely an Asina and a Mamzer, and Asina and a Mamzer, so then the Mishnah says that Din is Davar Holech Achar Apostle. So the Mishnah is assuming that Nesina, that Kiddushin or Tosin, Yesh Kiddushin, but Yesh Avera as well. And so therefore you see Nesina as Kiddushin Tosin, it's talking about Bigay Rusan, not Bigay Yusan. Okay, the ode.
The
ode of Persian
Kundas, Kevan da Abdis Mamish Kazar Alayhu, Shem Yitoh Chachne Shilav Obakal, Mishum Lo Yeh Kadesh, Im Kain Amai Yesh Laknas, Hatz Non Behenj Bim Masnitsin, Tishish Vayin Laknas.
That's the stat. So what's Tosis's Kasha?
I mean that even according to Rashi, there should still be an Isidoraita.
No.
Even according.
Well, no. Well, that's not exactly what he says. Tosa says, according to Rashi, what was the Gzeira on the Nesinim? The Gzeira, they become a Vadim. So Mimela.
Take it all the way to extension.
So Mimela, if they're a Vadim, so then they have no Knas, because the Eved has no Knas. So that's what he says. The imishum, you're going to say, but the obvious answer is Tzvei Dinam and Avadim. There are two kinds of Avadim. One kind of an Eved has no Knas, and one kind of an Eved has a Knas. Right? And why would there be a difference? I might have said, and that's what Tosus is going to talk about, I might have said, listen, you know why a Shif, why is it? Tosus seems to be actually unaware of the Yerushalmi, about the Makor that a Shifcha has no Knas. What does Tosus seem to think? Why is it that a Shifcha has no Knas? Right, no Cheskas Pesulim. Right? Because the Prutzim are right. What?
Also
no. So yes, Yeah, correct. I mean, that is how we read the Mishnah. But the Mishnah is talking about b'shichrarusan, right? The Mishnah does assume that pachos mikimel shanim. Well, I guess you wouldn't have. You don't have the case in the Mishnah. But I agree. The Mishnah is talking about a mishchares, not about a shifcha herself. I agree. It's a given that the shifcha is not going to be a besula either. So Tosis is assuming that the reason why a shifcha has no knas. And it sounds like this is the core issue, is because she's not becheskas besula. And as it's not because there's some gzeiras hakosuf separate about a shifcha, but it's because she's not becheskas besula. And therefore, it's true that avadim aprutzim arayas, but nobody says that the nesinim aprutzim arayas, just because you call them avadim and you give them the status of eved doesn't mean they're prutzim arayas. So Tosa says, Hamrinam biyushalmi. So maybe she's different, Lagamri. So the answer is Hamrina Bishami. Right. So Tosus doesn't really explain why. So the answer is that a Shifcha Meshurera, I don't know if in fact the Yushalmi says, I think that's later in this Yushalmi, but bottom line is that it makes no difference. Even Meshumeris, Shifcha has no knas. Yes. Sorry.
Shifcha Meshumeris is now Meshumeris.
Yes.
So there's no
chiluk
between a
shichra
mishukheres and a
shichra. Correct, as long as the shichra took place after three years a day.
So then, why is it not a dachas
pesuk? What's that?
Why is it not a dachas pesuk?
Well, the question is, if she's mishumeres, why? If it's only about pesulim, then you know that she is a pesula now. So I have to look back. I think in the Yushalmi, this is not the girsa we have in our Yushalmi. I believe we have Shivcha Mishachreres or something like that. But the Rishonim all had Shivcha Mishumeres. I think that's not in the same place where the Yushalmi talks about the Gzeres Hakasa Velosi Elisha. So what exactly Tosis was thinking, I don't know. But I am pretty sure that Tosis was not thinking about. Tosis doesn't seem to be aware of the other. The Yushalmi that I mentioned, I'll tell you why. What's the Svara? I didn't explain. If Elosi Elisha, how is it that if Elosi Elisha excludes a Shifcha, but it doesn't exclude Achosa? I didn't say this today, but I mentioned the Svara to you before, yes? I think.
Your sister can get married, just not to
correct.
You.
There is Kiddushin and Ishus for your sister, just not with you. Whereas a Shifcha and a Goya don't have Ishus, or let's say Shifcha has no Ishus or Kiddushin at all. That's what the Yushalmi says that Beferush. Therefore, if that's the case, the question should come back to bite Tosus on the nose again. Why? Because in Asina, we assume, as Tosus just observed, does have, Kiddushin. Right? So even if they were Gozer Avdus, even if the Gozer Avdus, according to Rashi, there is Kiddushin by Asina. If there is Kiddushin, then a Kuinan Bey, Velosi Elisha, and there would be Knas by this type of an Eved. Right? It would only be no Knas by the kind of Eved who has no Kiddushin. That's a real Eved. All right, so anyway, it seems like Tosas is unaware of that, the Yushalmi that I mentioned earlier. Adin?
Tosas is playing devil's advocate a little bit.
Well, he's going to reject it anyway, right? He's going to reject this anyway, in the next line. A line from here. So it's possible. Yaakov?
Just the Yefeni and I want to say that Tosas is being mashma in the Yushalmi. He's being medag in the Yushalmi, and it's not necessarily mashma about the Mishu Merit.
Well, no, okay, but that doesn't address my question whether you knew the other one, right? But it's clear, others point out, they had a girsa in the Yushalmi. We don't have much in the way of manuscript evidence, but there are enough Rishonim who quote this that they had Mishumeres, not Mishuchereres. But either way, he still doesn't, in other words, the Kasha is still a Kasha. If he knows that other Yushalmi, that the reason why a Shifcha has no Knas is because Velosi Elisha, so it's not going to apply to, even according to Rashi, it's not going to apply by Nesina. Because the Sina clearly has Kiddushin. Right? You could add the better kasha to ask on Rashi, if Tosus really thought Rashi took Abdus so literally, is to ask Rashi how the Mishnah can say, by Nasin and Mamzer, by Nasin, Yesh Kiddushin v'yesh Avera. Right? If they're Avadim, there should be no Kiddushin. So even Tosus knows for Rashi that if Rashi wants to declare them Avadim, they're Avadim who have Kiddushin. But once you say that, then there's no reason why a Shifcha, this type of a Shifcha, should be excluded from Kenas. Because this Shifcha has Kiddushin. The ode, another kashan Rashi, the Tanan.
The ode did not be
Right, so why could an Eved Meshuchrar marry an Asina? Right, it should be Asur, because a Meshuchrar is not allowed to marry Shivcha. That's sort of more directly the Kash and Rashi. That's sort of saying, well, it's not a it's Tosas thing. It doesn't ask the question, how do they have Kiddushin? He asks, how can a Meshuchrar marry a Nesina if he's not allowed to marry a Shivcha? Now, by Shivcha, the Kiddushin wouldn't even be Tosin. But Tosas doesn't ask it exactly from that angle. And how does he know that? How does he know that? How does he know a Meshuchrar can't marry a Shivcha? For the famous Mishnah. Kedetanan. How do you know Charesi Meshuchrar? I'm sorry, Lisa Shivcha Eino Yachal. How do you know that? What is that Mishnah talking about? Anyone recognize that Mishnah? Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chor. The Mishnah says that Kol Fanis Rabba V'Kosev Lo Shtarachat M'Mashachroso V'Kosev Lo Shtarachatzi Damav. You're not allowed to keep. You force an Adon to free a slave when he is already half free, because he can't marry in that state. He can't marry a Bas Chorin because half of him is an Eved. He can't marry a Shivcha because half of him is a Ben Chorin. So you see from that, a Ben Chorin is not allowed to marry a Shivcha, because otherwise, if he could, an Eved Meshuchar could marry a Shivcha still, so both halves of him could marry a Shivcha, the Eved part and the Meshuchar part. So you see that a Meshuchar is not allowed to marry a Shivcha. So now Tosus answers, Umihu. Yeah, okay. So it's not, so Tosus here, and in Ivamos, the first tzad he presents, he really takes it seriously, and it's wild. How could you say that someone who's a Ben Chorin becomes an Eved? And the Ramban explains why that's not possible, because when you have an Eved Kenani, you have not only a Kinyan Mamon on the Eved, you have a Kinyan Haguf on the Eved. But you cannot get a Kinyan Haguf on a Jew. You can get a Kinyan, you get Kinyan Mamonos. There's a Gemara in Gittin, right? You know, the Gemara in Gittin talks about by Kibush. Stop them Gimel, something like that. Earlier. Maybe it's earlier in the paragraph, I'm sorry. Stop Lamed Chesam et Aleph. The Gemara quotes a drasha on the gam mi bnei atoshevim ha'gavrim imachem ehem teknu atim kona mehem v'lohem kona mikem v'lohem kona zemizeh. So the Gemara ends up explaining that the ovei kochavim can be kona Yisrael for maaseh yadav, not kinyan haguf, but maaseh yadav. And how do you know that, by the way? Who says? What?
Yaakov did it. Does that count?
Don't bring me right from that. Wait. But what do you mean, Yaakov? Who knows? How can you be? Can a goy be kona a Jew lamaseh to be his owner, and the Jew be his eved? How do you know that that's possible?
It's a discussion about redeeming him.
Where?
What's the question?
Yes, thank you. It's a pasuk in Parshas Behar. Okay? The Pesukim and Parshas Behar say that a guy purchases a Jew and he is his Eved, and you know he's his Eved because the Torah talks about how you undertake the redemption process. So the Gemara says, what's that? If the Torah says, V'chishavim konehu, mishnasi macharlat shnasi ovel, so talking about the guy, you have to pay him full dollar. If it weren't binding, why do you have to pay him full dollar? The Chazal say, you have to give exact cheshbon. You're not allowed to steal from him. You're not allowed to be mafkir the atash. You have to redeem him. And if you want to redeem him before the Yovel, the Torah says he goes free in the Yovel, like any Jewish slave. But the whole point is that's an Eved Ivri, in effect, almost, owned by a goy. He's cunning the Masa Yadav. He's not. It's not exactly an Eved Ivri, but he's not an Eved Kanani. In other words, it's not Gufo Kanui. It's not Gufo Kanui. An Eved Kanani is property. It's not just the Kinyan Lamasa Yadayim. And it's property that has ramifications not only for the purposes of selling, but for the purposes of Isser V'Heter. And Eved Kenani is a 95% Jew. He has all mitzvos, but even a male Eved, as opposed to Shivcha, has mitzvos ki'isha. We say in the woman's case, it's not a lack in Kedushas Yisrael, but in the Eved's case, it is an indication of a lack of Kedushas Yisrael. Because ordinarily, as a male Eved, you would expect him to have all the mitzvos. So, as the Ramban points out, you can't have Avdus Doraisa when someone starts out as a Ben Chorin, because you can't get a Kinyan Haguf on a free Jew. You can get a Kinyan Masa Yadayim. Mati?
I don't understand why we're assuming that they were already Megayer when
the decree was made on them to be slaves.
So now, you could ask a better question. When we read the Pesukim, it doesn't sound like they converted at all. Right, it sounds they make it true. That's, but Chazal are assuming that they...
When you make them slaves, so, then they become partial converts or whatever.
Well, so then you are correct. If they had acquired them only as slaves, then they could have been the Eved Kanani status. But neither Bavli Yushalmi nor Yushalmi assume that way. They assume that they did undergo a conversion. All the Rishonim assume that they underwent some type of conversion. I agree. There's no suggestion in the Pasuk that you see that. Even the Pshita Shemikra, Vagivonim, Lo Bnei Yisrael Hema, means they weren't Jewish. Right, Gemara and Yevamos is reading that David was gozer on them that the Rashi's you couldn't marry into the kahal. Right, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's a much harder way. That's one of the reasons Rashi reads the way he does. But give them lo bnei Yisrael hema. What do you mean? They were gerim. Okay, so you say lo bnei Yisrael hema. They already were not allowed to marry. Whatever, but the Pshuta Shemikras, they weren't Jewish. They were people who happened to live in the land. But while normally Shiva Amim were not allowed to be left living in the land, the Givonim they had to because they swore to them. Akiva?
And if we're going by the Gemara that they did convert, then how is it possible for them to... wasn't conversion one of the choices on the ultimatum?
So the Gemara in Tzemura, I think, has this idea. So again, I realize that creates a problem. There's no way to make the assumption in Sina generally work in combination with the Pesukim and that assumption. He's referring to a Gemara in Temura which says that Moshe Rabbeinu sent three, or Yeshua sent sort of three prosdagmos or something like that, some Greek word, to the seven nations. The first one, whoever wants to run, should run. And Hagirgashi Panav Halach, right? The Girgashi ran. Then he said anyone who wants to convert can convert. Apparently nobody took, maybe the Gemara, does the Gemara say the Givonim took him up on the offer? I don't remember. What?
Somewhere it says Givonim would get
lost. Right, so maybe that is that Gemara. So I guess that would answer your question, even though it's not Pshat in the Pesukim. And then, and the last one was anyone who wants to fight can stay and fight. So apparently the rest of them took him up on that offer. And they lost in large numbers, not all numbers, but yes. Alex?
If they converted before they were made into Avadim, why is the assumption that they were made into Eved Kanani and not Eved Ivri?
Because an Eved Ivri would go free in the Ovel. And Eved Ivri, if I want to play the Lumdish game, I'll say then they would have been Mutter in a Shivcha. That would have answered Tosis's question. Because Eved Ivri, Rabbi Moshe LeShivcha, no. So I think that you can't have eternal Eved Ivri. And also, I would say, by the way, you can't give it, it's not clear that you're allowed, it's not clear what type of labor you can give to an Eved Ivri. In other words, there are things that you can do with an Eved Ivri, like menial tasks. It's a question, under what circumstances the Isra Avodas Parach applies. So Chotvei Eitzim and Shovei Mayim were like the lowest of the low. I'm not sure that... It's true, but... So I don't know. But I think that and also you wouldn't have Nesina in Bisman Shein HaYovel Noeg. When Bisman Shein HaYovel Noeg, there's no Eved Ivri.
So
it's not really that. It's not going to have anything wrong with that. You'd see? Can't have any other Eved Ivri. The pashtus is you can't have an Eved Ivri who belongs to the Mikdash. Right? The fact that Im'ein HaYovel Noeg, there's no Eved Ivri. Why is that so? Aside from the juxtaposition discussion of Sukkim, because it means that inherent in the institution of Eved Ivri is there's a point that he has to go free. Because Ki Yisrael Heim Avadayim Asher Osam Eretz Mitzrayim. And therefore, if there's no Yovel and there's no freeing mechanism, so then there's no Eved Ivri. And by the same token, you couldn't have something to Hekdesh that way either.
Why is that a problem? Kili
Avadayim, indeed, they were Very nice. Okay. That's not what it means. That's not what the Pasuk means. Okay. Fine. So let's continue. So Tosis has to, Rabbeinu Tam has to answer a question here. If they're already usher to marry into the kahal, so why was David gozer avdos aleihem? So Tosis Rabbeinu Tam had said he was gozer avdos shelo yitama ubahen. They shouldn't intermarry or assimilate. So Tosis says if that's the case, why weren't they gozer on all the upsule kahal? Why didn't they make the Ammonites and the Moabites into avodim? There's another kasha that one could ask here. So Eli, this is a question that touches close to home for you, which is, why are you allowed to make a takana against a group of gerim? Isn't that a violation of onas hager?
Yes.
I think you're channeling a former student of mine who went to Flatbush and grew up in Brooklyn and was married to a young lady from the Syrian community, but nonetheless always took every opportunity this year to complain about the ban on gerim in among the Syrian community. Now I will say the following: said the kasha is a good kasha, but my wife likes to say it's takana spinos Yisrael. And as I look more and more at the situation, I know this is a horrible thing to say, but they really. It's not just there. I think that it's hard. The truth is, firstly,
like
what?
They don't want to marry.
Would you be quiet? Did I ask you? Just be quiet. Okay? But the issue, firstly, you're not mechuyev to accept gerim in the first place. There's no, as far as I know, I don't know of any real malkar that you're mechuyev to accept someone who wants to become a ger.
Well, in fact, Devin and Shlomo Warren seems to be a good rabbi.
Well, that was only because they purely suspected their motives. But I would just tell you something else. It's ironic. It's ironic, and I've actually asked from the Beis Din the statistics. That the number of converts who come, let's say in the Beis Din, I think in Manhattan, the number percentage of converts who are women are something like, I think, 80-90%, I was told. And most of those, by the way, are gioros l'shem shamayim, not l'shem ishus. But what it means is that every time you accept a woman as a ger, it means one more single Jewish woman, whether it's the gioros who converts or some other... Bas Yisrael who's not going to find someone to marry. That's not a davar katan. And in that sense, it's not crazy. The question, for different reasons, which is the reason I think the Syrian community has prohibited it, is this concern. It's takana spinos Yisrael.
What do you mean by takana spinos Yisrael?
In other words, it's to protect the women in the community, the Jewish women, the Jewish-born women. Right, because
you think that's somewhat serious. I thought that's
why. Otherwise, all the guys would be going out. I mean, they would say they'd find these non-Jewish women, convert them. That is the concern, I believe, and it's a valid concern. It's not an invalid concern. It's complicated, but anyway. So I raised that, but here I asked the question: once the Nesinim converted, how could the Chachama make a Gzera? So the answer is probably that it's not onas hager when it's the kanas chachamim, when it's not personally directed at an individual. And as an individual, it is
only communal prejudice is allowed.
It's not. I think that's an unfair term. It's not about communal prejudice. It's about the chacham had a reason, presumably, for making the takana. Probably on some level.
Does that mean if you have a reason to make a takana individual, you wouldn't be able to? That if we find that a person.
Well, we don't make takanas against individuals generally. You can't make it. You sometimes based in its makiv onshin shlomo adin. That's very different. But that's when the person has done something wrong, right? But making a takon against individuals unheard of. What?
Do I put people on like,
that's when they've done something wrong. In other words, that's onesh based in.
Yeah, I think that if an individual, we found that an individual here was not a rachman.
Okay. But except for that, in other words, so you could say that. The question is, were all of the people guilty of that? Right. In other words, so that's the difficulty. And as you're painting with a broad brush, so the decision was. Again, and that very well might be the case. But anyway, the bottom line is that certainly when it comes to, you know, communal takanos, for a particular reason, I'm not sure that you can necessarily say that it's onas hager. I'm not arguing in favor or against the particular ban, but the taina that a former student of mine had about, you know, all the Yisurim of the Torah, so I think you could raise the same question about the Nesinim. The fact that Chazal weren't concerned there would suggest that maybe when you do have, when it's a communal takana for a particular reason, it's not an Isser of onas hager. Binyamin?
Can you say it was from the nature of the Nesinim themselves, that because their gerus was sort of utilitarian, they shouldn't qualify for the protection that the Torah gives to a ger?
But it only works if you want to adopt the Provençal position, that they were gerus arayos, which was recognized min HaTorah, but not Geris Gemura, so that they're not, in other words, they're Chayvin Omitzis, but they're Asurim Bakahol. So then, I think you could argue that those Gerim don't have the protections of the 37 times, Rashi says, 37 times the Torah is Mazir and Lasagir. We can't find all 37, but nonetheless, a lot of times. But once the Gerim Gemurim, and then unless you're going to adopt, again, putting aside the Ravid's position, outside of that, the Nesinim are Gerim Gemurim. The fact that you're allowed to make Takana means, whether you think it's a good idea or not, the community may have the rights to make such a takana. Danny?
It's possible that maybe because it's not directed against Gerim, the Gezeris, it's directed towards the, as Rabbeinu Tam puts it, the Umar Shleim, against the Givoni. So it's not that you're going to run into an issue of mistreating the gerim, because other gerim are allowed to come in to convert and to marry. So it's not really against gerim in general. It's only against this one nation that's coming into Israel, and therefore maybe it doesn't qualify for this.
But I think pshat in the psukim anyway is onas hager is directed at the individual. When you look at almost all the contexts, right? It's a v'chiyagur etachem ger. Right, it's always the individual, because normally gerus is, you know, a yachid here, a yachid there, and so on. What? No, but the scenario is that a ger converts as an individual, not as a group, not a large group of people. So I'm not sure. Again, one can have a discussion, but I'm just here offering a defense of the practice. That I'm not sure one can invoke onas ager automatically against the community making a takana to exclude gerim. The truth is from Allah perspective, the only question I think is once somebody is converted elsewhere, how do you treat them? Not accepting gerim, certainly, which is what the Nesinim is. See, they were gerim already. Not accepting gerim in the first place, certainly, I think, was when the purview of the community less man the polig, because I don't know what the mitzvah would be of being makabel ger. Certainly, we, Chazal say, we discourage it. So, spiritually, someone wants to come close to the Shekhinah, I understand. On the one hand. On the other hand, that doesn't create an obligation for us. You know?
What the Sephardic community has created,
I'm defending this, because as of now, it's not just Syria, maybe
the Syrians are 40% of the community, there's Egyptians, there's Iraqis, there's whatever it is.
I don't think it's the same kind of
that's not bothersome to the Ger. That's a precautionary measure to somebody that wants to become a Ger.
No,
so that doesn't even cross
the issue. So I agree, but there's also a question of letting Gerim into the community and people marrying Gerim, and I don't know exactly how that's done, but I know there have been some issues about that. But even if I'm correct, said when it's made as a kind of takana, I'm just suggesting, based upon the Gemara, you have to ask the question on the Gemara itself. Right, forget the contemporary. How could you take a group of people who are game Gemara Menatora and say, guys, goodbye, you're not part of us. We're totally excluding you. You're part of the Klal Yisrael, but you can't marry into anyone. Right? That should be so you see, but the answer is it's not. So even if it were that.
Right.
You're telling me it's not. Okay, fine. So even better. But even in Tim Salomar, that the cases where people already have converted are excluded and they won't allow them to marry into the community, one can argue based upon this that there is precedent when it's made not individually but broadly. Okay. My kasha was on the Nesinim. Maybe I shouldn't have brought that up. Yitzi?
Why not simply suggest that they're different than all of the cases because they fooled the Jews in the time of Yeshua? This is the punishment.
Okay, but in the time of David, they didn't. And again, if they were, and here's the issue. Again, the future generations didn't do that.
Didn't do that, but then you, at that point, you already argue. Their culture apparently hasn't changed.
Okay, so that's what you would say. That's why David felt that they were so separate and they didn't behave as part of the Jewish people. They didn't deserve to be treated as part of the Jewish people. Okay. It's very odd, given the number of times the Torah is mazir al ager, to make a takana to exclude a whole group of gerim that the Torah didn't exclude.
Yeah, well, it's also odd that the Chazal are all the time like, oh, they're the worst. they're mixed comments.
Okay, Yaakov.
I don't understand why you can't say that even in the case of an individual, there might be competing values that you don't want to associate necessarily with individual X, because if the reason here is because they're going to assimilate to a culture which you don't identify with, then why can't you even say that for an individual? Because I don't want him in my community
you can choose not to do that.
No, but why can't a community choose?
Okay, but again, if a person is misbehaving, it just it just seems to be a very broad brush against picking up the innocent along with the guilty. Which is problematic in its own right, but it's even more problematic in the context of gerim. Right? We're told to be extra sensitive, right?
So again,
you could say that one. In other words, I assume that the issur of onas hager applies to an Ammonian Moabi as well. They're not allowed to marry into the kahal, but you still can't be ma'ana them. Right, I assume that saying to an Ammoni, a Ger Ammoni, remember what your grandfather used to do and has been so, I assume that's an Issa Deraisa. You could take a different approach. You could say banning people from marrying to the Kahal is different than being Ma'ana them in other ways. right? Because the Torah does ban individual groups, even though Onas HaGer applies to them. You could say that. Daniel, you have a comment?
Question? Yeah, I just have a question on the steering date. But doesn't it...
Sorry.
No, I'm good. But if they're trying to prevent, which I totally understand, if they're trying to sort of help out their Jewish women in the marital process, what if, let's say, a new couple comes into the community and it makes no... And the man happens to be a ger...
That's not how it works. If they were granted... the rights to conversion by the Beit Din of Israel, then they're allowed to attend to the
conversion. Okay. Until Ravadia came.
Okay. I know the story. I know. You could tell the story, so go ahead.
Ravadia came, and it was a person he converted himself, and basically he said to them, like, you're not going to accept my gerut, and they said, okay, we'll accept anyone who's converted from Ravadia. That's what I heard.
Oh, I heard different. I heard a different version of the story, but anyway. I'm sorry. Let's just cross that off the thing. I just want to point that in the discussion of Onas HaGer, it's a factor that's relevant here, but apparently it's not relevant for one reason or another. Okay.
Are there any rabbis that address this in the Gemara or in the sources?
No, not that I've seen. So there has to be a reason why Onas HaGer doesn't apply here. You can assume that. You have to figure out what it is.
But why is it so precious about a question?
What?
Meaning, if there's a reason, fine. But why is it so push that no one even discusses it?
I don't know. I think it's a good question, but apparently it's not. Apparently there's an obvious answer.
No one ever discusses
it. Do we know for a fact that the Nesinim converted, or is it only...
No, again, we're going to assume Chazal's view.
Okay.
All right? So we're just going to... Again, the Pesukim don't sound like that.
We're going to run into the problem of Zadim.
Well, we do, because the Mishnah is assuming that they have Kiddushin. At some point, they convert.
And then you could ask the same question about Shlomo HaMelech that Gemara also brings up. Shlomo HaMelech and Aspara.
The
institution of marriage.
Except for that the Mishnah, but the Gemara ultimately says that Shlomo didn't actually marry her, right? It wasn't that actual schatnas. But the bottom line is, Bas Parah was not a halachic category in the Mishnah that you have to deal with, right? The Mishnah doesn't have any dinim that relate to Bas Parah. But Nesinim are all over the place in Yuchsin issues, and the Mishnah seems to treat them as Jewish, but Psulei Kahal. That's the problem. I don't want to belabor that point. So let's, unless it's...
Sure.
Go ahead. Okay. Right. So Ramani Tam says that the only reason why they would go to Avdus on them is because they're an Umar Shlema, they shouldn't be Nitim of a Kahal. V'had kamar hasam. Lidobek bohen. I you didn't read it wrong. I was trying to put the Dagesh Chaz on. Okay? You know, all the women that the Torah said that Heim lo yavo b'chem atem lo savo b'hem, b'hem davak Shlomo li'ahava. Right? That's the word davak means. He cleaved to them. Okay? You don't cleave to an Eved, you know, who's working for you. You might cleave to a Shifcha. Okay? So, Tosa says, that's it. What?
What does it mean to cleave?
To attach oneself to. Roy Lidobek Bohen. Just translating the word.
No, but I mean to say, like, you can obviously have that sort of romantic relationship with an Eved. That's not crazy.
I know, but David was goes there, Shein Roy Lidobek Bohen, which means, Minat Torah, it was okay, Lidobek Bohen. Okay? And David was goes there, not to. So Tosis doesn't spell it out. That obviously, the mashmas of the Gemara is that David's Gzera was about marriage. Okay? Right, so he's got a kvetch in that Gemara. Roy the Dabek Behem doesn't mean Roy the Dabek Behem in marriage, but Roy the Dabek Behem that they should be B'nai Cholrin. Right? Okay. V'chein. Now the simple continuation, the reading of the Kasha, the Gemara, is Lahatir Nesinim, was to be Mata then Bakahol. Right. For a bit of time, that can't be the intent of the question. Ella. Okay, the answer of the Gemara does sound like Rabbeinu Tam. You know, Machalkeinu Natir Chelik Mizbeach Miyate, that wasn't about marriage. The Mizbeach wasn't marrying any of the Nesim. The Mizbeach was being served by the Nesim. Okay, now, Afalgav, so why? Now, this is a side point. Alpha got the kind of hefker based on a hefker. Okay, what's the expression here, by the way, quickly? Hefker based in?
Hefker.
No, that's not what it says.
Hefker.
Haya Hefker.
Okay.
Why?
You can't do it anymore.
Not anymore, because the censors put that in. Or it was self-censorship. The term is Hefker based in Hefker. Hefker based in Haya Hefker is the term to either create it by or to avoid the censors.
What does it say in the text here?
The Hefker based in Haya Hefker.
Mine does not have Haya.
They took the word Haya back out.
I mean, I have this blue.
Why is that controversial?
Because it, to have it or not have it?
Mine doesn't have the word
Haya. Albert, what would you... Because it's implying that the Beis Din has the power to be mafker people's money, so maybe you could do that to the goyim around you also. That's very bad, especially in the post especially but not only in the post Enlightenment era. You know, when the Beis Din is going and taking people's money, what, they have power over everybody? So you say hefker Beis Din. There are some that have hefker Beis Din hay hefker bizman habayis beizayin hebe beizayin hebeis. Not anymore, of course.
You're okay with that, though.
Well, that gets neither of those is correct halachically. Hefker based hefker means based and still has the power to make a takana. But what?
Usually sensors are more like, aren't they usually more like theological things?
No. No. They would have been upset about Gezel Kanani as mutter also. That's why we have a few Me'iris. The only Me'iris we had was somebody thought to put on the side of the page. We didn't have the Sefer of the Beis HaBechir itself. We have those two Me'iris because to avoid the wrath of the censors. Not our Goyim, of course. All right. Umihu.
Umihu Yerushalmi, Mahma Kibirish of Kuntis, Prepare Kasar Yoksen, Kaamar Hatam, Mintine Yoshua Rikham, Kumrikham, Elamishum Sol Mishpacha, Deem Tomar Mishum Sol Abdos, Elamiata, Abaha Mintine, Lo Yala Knas, Mash Mishum Yoshua Gazar Lehem, Nipsalumila Bokahal.
Right, the Nat Yerushalmi, and we will read the Yerushalmi, we will read the Ramban's Perush on the Yerushalmi when we get to the Ramban. But Tosus acknowledges what Ramban also says, that the Yerushalmi almost has to be read the way Rashi does. That Yeshua Richakon, firstly, Yeshua Richakon implies that Yeshua was Gozer upon them. What was he Gozer on the Nesinim? So the simple reading of the Yerushalmi has to be he was Gozer on Lehem. Psule kol. He made them not kasher lava bakol, not gzera of avdus. And Tosa says the gzera of once you say that Yeshua was gozer aleihem chasnus, so you know from the Gemara that Moshe and Dov and Yeshua made the same gzera. The only question is how long and when the gzera would be in effect. So that's what Tosa says. Gzeras Yeshua v'Dov are called gzera achas yikadimuchach be'oil. And that's the case. And if the Yerushalmi says that gzeras Yeshua was chasnus, it means that the iser chasnus is only drabbanon, and David's gzera was also chasnus. Okay, umihu
b'Yerushalmi igalameva tesavik mosh haya salka dato v'datach
date
t'rava meikara ba'arel ibegerutam leitlu iser chasnus.
Right. And what's the answer? The Yerushalmi holds like lishna kama v'rava. We know it's already there are two deos in the Bavli, in a sense, two deos. There's the Lishna Kam of Rava, what Rava thought originally, and what Rava thought later. So it could be the Yerushalmi is just following what Rava thought earlier. In which case, since the Maskana of the Sugya on Ayin Vav is like the Lishna Basra of Rava, definitionally, therefore it's a Machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi, and a Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, we Paskin like the Bavli. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says, even in Tim Salomar, that the Yerushalmi holds that Nisinim are only Nisid the Rabbanon, because Yeshua was the one who was Gozer Chasnus upon him. So. Doesn't matter because we don't pass them that way. Fine, but then, there's another way of dealing with it. So Richakon doesn't mean he was Gozer the Isser Kahal. Richakon means he placed upon them Avdus. He placed upon them Avdus so as to keep them from assimilating. Because assimilating would violates Inisa Daraisa, so he was merachik them through Abdus, something like that. It's dachuk. Tosus knows that. Okay, but we're not done yet. V'hadam rinan. Stop. So the Gemara, it's on that Mishnah, that very important Mishnah at the end of the third parak of Kiddushin, second to last Mishnah, which begins Miseches Yochsin. So the Gemara wants to know. The Mishnah talks about Shivcha Nachris, where there's no Kiddushin. The Mishnah says that Kol She Ein. Kol she'ein lo v'lo al acherim kiddushin v'lada kimosa. The vlad follows the mother. V'ezel zo, Mishnah says, habala shivcha v'al nachris. in those cases, because there's no kiddushin for the woman with him or anyone else. Therefore, the vlad follows the mother's status. Is it either an eved or is a goy? So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that about a goya, and how do you know that kiddushin are in tosam by a goya? So the Gemara says, because it says los ischatin bam, which sounds exactly like
this is why Rashi may hold that
the Lishna Kama of Rava. So I would say the reason why the Rambam, I like this even better. I mean, I think you can see it in the Sugya Nivamas as well, but here you have a Gemara that's kimat befeirush, like the Lishna Kama of Rava. So which is why, perhaps in conjunction with the Sugya and Ayin Ches, the Rambam probably says that we paskin like the Lishna Kama of Rava, because despite the fact that Rava himself changed his mind and thought like the Lishna Basra, definitionally, nonetheless, the stam of the Gemara elsewhere, the stam sugya, the sugya be'alma, as we might say, holds that los eschatim bam is bigiyusan. So what is Rabbeinu Tam going to do with that pasuk? And so I don't know very much, so if it weren't for Balei Tosfos raising the question, I wouldn't have even realized that I found the key to solve the problem for the Rambam. But Rabbeinu Tam was grateful, and Balei Tosfos were kind enough to raise for us all the potential problems with Rabbeinu Tam Shita, and in doing so, they show you, you know, derech agav, where the Rambam might be coming from. That is very often the case. I don't know if any of you have ever learned the first Perek in Ksubos, there's a Gemara in Yevamos. I guess it's really relevant to our Perek. If you're Mefateh Ketana, who's married to a man midaraisa, the father married her off. All right, so, and she's married. So what's the punishment? Well, the man, if he's an adult, gets Misa. The girl doesn't get anything, she's a Ketana. Is she Muteris Labaila? The Gemara, why would she not be? Because she was Mizana.
She doesn't have
that. So the Gemara in Yevamos says in a couple of places, Pitui Ketana Onesu. Being Mefata Ketana is an Ones. It doesn't mean for our dinim, for Ones, to be at Mamish and Ones, but it means Lagabi the din of whether Zinsa Beratzon or Zinsa Beones, so it's considered Ones.
Even like modern legal systems kind of recognize
Well, there is such concept. There's certainly such a concept. The Rambam paskins that a Ketana who's Mefuta is Asura Labaila. I think the Raivid jumps up and down and says, what are you talking about? So, I forget who, I think it would be Kiva Eger. So, there's a famous answer given by the Maharik, which doesn't really explain things, it just gives you a svara. How could a Ketana be Asura? So, the Maharik, it's quoted in the last Siman Eben Ezer, I think. It's a very important issue. What happens if a woman is, we know that if a woman is Mizana, and Ishis Yisrael is Mizana, b'mezid, so she's asura labayla. If she's mizana it b'shoge, then she is muteris labayla. Now, so let's say she didn't realize it wasn't her husband. Someone came into the room. She thought it was her husband. She slept. It was in the dark. She thought it was her husband, and turns out he wasn't. So the din is she's muteris labayla. What happens if a woman is mizana because she thinks that it's mutter? Is omer mutter shoge? Normally, that's the classic shogeg b'chal Torah kula, with the exception of rotzeach. Omer mutter is a shogeg. You don't know it's usher to do borer on Shabbos, you do borer. It's a shogeg, you bring a korban chatas. So why not say that the woman, why wouldn't you say the woman is muteris labayla? So some say yes, but the Maharik writes in a tshuva that she's asura labayla, and I think he explains this Rambam as well with that, that a ketana is asura, because the isura labayla stems from the pasuk of umma lavo ma'al, that she betrayed him. So even though an Eishes Yisrael who is Mizana thinking that it's Mutter, even though she thinks Al Pidin it's Mutter, she understands that she's betraying her husband. And therefore, she's Asura Labayla, and he wants to say the same thing to Yabaya Ketana, that even though, technically speaking, she's not a Bar Das, if she understands what she's doing, she understands, children do understand when they're betraying other people, when they're betraying trust, so then she's Asura Labayla. But the other explanation that's given for the Rambam is, and I like this explanation much better, I think Rabbi Kiva Eger says this, is that there's a Gemara, a famous Gemara in Daf Tesamad Aleph in our Masechta, Sveik Sveika, about Sveik Sveika. So the Gemara says that an Eishes Yisrael, who it turns out that she's not a Besula on her wedding night, now for us it's irrelevant because we have Erisin and Nisuin at the same time, but they had Erisin and Nisuin separated, and there's a concern, the Gemara says, that maybe she was Mizana between the time you had Erisin, when she's already Eishes Ish, and when you had Nisuin. So the Gemara says that except for an Eishes Kohen or a girl who's father accepted Kiddushin for her when she was under the age of 3 years and a day. So the Gemara says, that woman, Al Pidin, Isser Veheter, should be Muteris Levaila. Why? It's a Sveik Sveika. Maybe she lost her Basulam before she was married. Even if it happened after she was married, maybe it was Ba'onis. Satosos asks a question. So the Gemara says there are two exceptions where there's only one suffix, and therefore she would, Al Pidin, be a suffix on a Sura Labaila, an Ashes Kohen, because I mean, Ashes Kohen, the only suffix is when it happened. If it happened after she was married, it doesn't matter if she was raped, she's still a Sura Labaila, not because she did anything wrong, but because she's a Sura Labaila, because an Ashes Kohen, Shenensa, is a Sura Labaila, she is halachic din of Zona, even though she's not at fault. And also, a Ketana whose father accepted Kiddushin for her under the age of 3 years and a day. Why? Because if he accepted under 3 years and a day, if she has no Basulim now, it had to have happened after the Kiddushin. So Tosos asks Akasha. Tosos says, but it's still a Sveik Sveika. Because Safek, it happened before the girl reached the age of Gadlus, in which case it's definitionally an Ones. In other words, an Imtin Saloma then happened after she was 12 years and a day, maybe she was raped. Satosus comes up with an answer that's very, very important in the dinim of Sveik Sveika. If you learn Yeridea one day, you learn Semen Kofyud, you learn what's called the Sveik Sveika Misapech, or Eina Misapech. However, Kiv Eger, I think, suggests that no, it's precisely because of Tosus' Kasha that the Rambam says, you see, that this Sugya holds that Pituk Tana is not called Onas. In other words, and therefore the only Shaila was, did she do it willingly, or was she raped? Whether you think that that's correct, methodologically, it's fundamentally sound. It's searching for the sugya that quietly seems to be assuming, or not quietly, seems to be assuming against what appears to be the maskana in another sugya. And that's what the Rambam would have seized. So here, Rabbeinu Tam or Tosus is so kind as to set up the obvious makar, the Gemara in Kiddushin, which seems to be black and white, like Rava's Lishna Kama against Rava's Lishna Basra. So Tosus, how does Rabbeinu Tam get around the problem, though? Go ahead.
Rabbeinu Tam, that safe to cross something, who vita loti gata minah.
Okay, stop for a second. So Tosus says that, and this is, Tosus says this in a few places in Shas, sometimes the Gemara is quoting a Makar and it quotes the beginning of the Pasuk, but you're really learning the din from the end of the Pasuk. So here, it's really learned from bitcholosi tein levno bitcholosi kach levnecha, which is the end of the Pasuk. Velosis chatein dam bitcholosi kach So Rabbi Natan says that's the makor, not los ischatin bam. Los ischatin bam is begeirusan. The second half of the pasuk is begeirusan, and therefore it's not against the lishna kam of Rava, but rather it could be. It very well could be in accordance with the lishna master of Rava. And Tosus then goes on to quote another example, ironically from our sugya itself on Ayin Tes, right in the middle of the Agada. Go ahead. So what's going on? Well, before you go on, what is going on there?
I mean, question is...
What happened in the story? I'm going to talk about this in 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes, because I want to talk about the Agada. But the David had to violate two Isurim to appease the Givonim. What two Isurim did he violate? Vicarious punishment, which is like no-no number one, of like the most prominent principle in Jewish prudence, right? You may not punish one person for the sins of another. It is the hallmark of much of Mesopotamian law, and the Torah is if there's one principle in the Torah that is la fuke, la hutzi mi liban, that would be it. Lo yumsu avos abanim vanim yumsu avos ish bichato yumase. What the Chazal learned from this pasuk? So Rabbeinu Tam says when the Gemara cites it, that David had to violate that. He had to violate one other din. What was the other din he had to violate? Lo salin nivla salaitz. The corpses were allowed to hang for an extended period of time. So the Gemara says that David. And we're asked, how could David do it? It says lo yumsu avos abanim. And David said, mutav shete'acher osachas mena Torah v'lo yischal shem shemayim b'farhesit. A little more on that later. However, for our purposes, Tosa says, you don't learn that din of vicarious punishment in the first part of the pasuk. You learn that from Ish Bechata Yumasu. What do you learn from the first part of the pasuk? La Yumsu Avas Abana Vanalim Solavos? Tosa says, the Resh of the Krum, Ukmin and Lay.
Livsol Krum, Laidas, Beverga Chovel, Pegzabor.
Okay. The truth is, this point is high. How do you? In other words, lo yumsu avos al pi banim, uvanim lo yumsu al pi avos. In other words, you cannot kill a karov on. You cannot kill someone on the testimony of a karov. So the truth be told, this is not so pashut. It's not such a pashut riot. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that the example he just brought, the beginning of the pasuk doesn't make sense for the point that Gemara is making. Masha Akin here. Could possibly mean.
Well, wait, which doesn't make sense? Lo Yumsu? Of course it makes sense.
Avod Abanim, doesn't that mean the opposite of what happened in the story?
Uvanim Lo Yumsu all of us.
Uvanim Lo Yumsu all of us. That's the part. No.
Do you get what I'm saying? Meaning it's.
I don't think is a kasha. The kasha is, is it really true what Tosa says? That we learn vicarious punishment only from the last part? So I forgot to look up the details. This is one of the really, really interesting among Chuvas are, well, many Chuvas are interesting. There's a Chuvas Arashba. One of the major controversies in the Rishonim that takes place in the discussion of Psula Edus Drabanan is when you Makadish and Isha and the only Edom are Psulim but only Midrabanan, is the Kiddushin good or not? Now you remember yesterday, I think I mentioned in passing, that when the Rabbanan invalidate Edom, Shuas HaEdus, they don't violate. Why? That's for a practical reason. Because you only chayav on Shuas HaEdus when you would have cost somebody money. And if the Rabbanan won't let you testify, then Mimela on a Doraisa level, you're not costing the person money. But here, when you talk about making a Kiddushin, so nobody's cost anybody money, nobody's testifying. The question is this person, these two people, in front of whom I am being Makadesh, if these people are Edom Cherim in HaTorah, why don't you say that since they're Cherim in HaTorah, the Kiddushin is good Midaraisa. If they're Pasul Midarabanan, it means that maybe you should do the Kiddushin again or something like that. So that's a big Machlok Sarishonim. So one of the issues that is discussed, one of the rayas that was brought, somebody tried bringing, is that what is the din if you makadesh someone in the presence of krovim? You makadesh a girl, and the only two witnesses there are your brothers. What's the din? Is she mikudeshes?
No.
Is that, are they, are krovim psulim le'edos min HaTorah? So we usually assume that way. However, those who wanted to say that actually krovim are only psulim le'edus midivrei sofrim. What does midivrei sofrim mean? Torah shebal peh, not Torah shebichsav. And they wanted to blur the distinction between divrei sofrim and the rabbanans and treat them the same way. Now, how do you prove that the psul edus krovim is not pshat in the pasuk? How do you know that lo yumsu avos abanav v'anim le'yumsu avos? How do you know Alpi Pshat that does not refer to Psule Edus, but rather it refers to vicarious punishment? Prove it.
Second half.
No. Maybe the second half refers to that. The first half refers to something else. Why do we need two halves? What? Alex?
Isn't the context where Hashem is saying, I'm not going to punish you, it has nothing to do with Jesus?
The Pasuk is in isolation. In fact, God doesn't say that. God says, Pokeinu Avonavos Tavanim. That's one of the problems.
Right, I thought okay. They were.
They're not next to each other. Chazal posed the stira.
No, I thought they were in contradiction, but they're both from Hashem, but I didn't.
Right, no, they're not. Now, the pashtus is, the way that, and the Masoretic text reads, is lo yumsu, but you put to death, not yomusu. Sam?
It's used in Malachim.
Thank you. It's used in Malachim in Divrei Hayamim. It says, v'esbenei ha-makim lo heimis, ka-kasur b'taras Moshe. And as I forget which one of the Judean kings, Amatzi or something like that, didn't kill his father's assassins. He killed the assassins, but not their children, as it is written in the Torah of Moses. Lo yimsu avos abanim, vanim yimsu avos. In Divrei Hayamim, the nusach is lo yomusu, interestingly enough. I don't want to talk about that now. But in this Tshuva the Rashba, whoever, I don't remember which side he's coming down on, but someone wanted to demonstrate that midoraisa, that the psul edus for krovim is only midivrei sofrim, because you know what pshuto shemikra is. That is vicarious punishment, because it's beferush in Tanakh.
This is pshuto shemikra is determines what halacha doraisa is.
What? Well, that's usually the way part of the problem with the argument of this divrei sofrim is that there's divrei sofrim that's the raisa, but just not beferush bikra. But once you're ignoring that distinction, you know, for the moment, right? Now, there's the whole Kiddushe Kesa problem with the Rashi and Daf Gimel. As Rabosav said, that Tenech the Kaddish Begasso, because Kiddushe are only made the Rabbanim with Kesef, right? Because it's made divrei sofrim. You may be familiar with that. The first Rambam and Ishus and the long Kesef Mishnah there about what is divrei sofrim mean. But the bottom line is, that they point out that the pshat in the pasuk, the doraisa din, is learned for layumsu avos abanim vanim layumsu avos, and the din of al-edus banim and edus avos, that's only the very sofrim. So the Rashba, in that discussion, the Rashba, and the Rif is being quoted there, whatever positions they come down on, I think clearly don't assume like Rabbeinu Tamir. They assume that when the Gemara cites the beginning of the Pasuk, is because even though you learn Psulei Krovim from that beginning of that Pasuk, you also learn the Pshuto Shemikra from the beginning of that Pasuk. As Rabba comments in a famous Memra in the first Parak of Yivamas, I believe, Bechol HaTorah Kula, even when Chazal have a drasha, a halachic drasha on a Pasuk, also Ein Mikra Yotze Midi Pshuto, with one exception, V'hayoha Bechara Sher Teleid. So even when Chazal darshan something from a Pasuk, you know, through the Midosh HaTon Adreshes Bahen, the Pshuto Shemikra is also governing. So therefore, the pashtus is that you can't bring a raya. I mean, maybe there are other psukim, but you can't bring a raya from that one particular pasuk, liyam sohamanim, that they're not learning from the first half of the pasuk. They're really learning from the second half. So the same thing as eschatemam, because the pashtus is by liyam sohavas abanim, is they're learning from the first half of the pasuk. They're quoting the first half because they learn from the entire pasuk, not just from the last three words. Yes, I did.
Maybe a broad methodological question, but does mikra in a yotzei midei pshuto mean lahalacha or just
you look at Rava's statement, and he's saying that the one time when we say that it's simply excluded, then as we don't say that you name the Bechor, if your brother who died was Ruven, you don't name the Bechor Ruven. The one place where you say that Mikra is Yotze Mide Pshuto Mamish. So otherwise we don't say that.
So there's all the places where the Rashbam says the Peshat is not the Halacha, or would you say that's not the Peshat?
Well, that's a little more complicated, because there...
Like, Rav, would you say Ayin Tachan Ayin? The Peshat is not Ayin Tachan Ayin.
Or the Harishi Rakatim.
Right. So anyway, but the bottom line, I would say certainly in this case, it's easier, because the din is the din. Nobody, or another Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't dispute vicarious punishment is banned. So now, once we know the Chazal hold vicarious punishment is banned, and they also darshan something else on that pasuk, so I assume that one is pshat and one is the divrei sofer. They're both daraisa. Okay, it's a very interesting choice. All right, so that is what Rabbeinu Tam's shita is, but there are a couple of other shitos. So that's what I wanted to take a look at. If you take a look now, if you go to the sheets. Go to the Ramban. First, let me just make one error on the Ramban. The Ramban follows Rashi. The Ramban says, thank you, Daniel. Yudi, you have the sheets with you? You read the Ramban, please. So Rambam clearly holds like Rashi. The one thing that I sort of slipped my mind, and I left out the continuation, the Rambam is not done. In other words, the Rambam doesn't say that the Shinam Amutarim is Manazeh. He just didn't get to that, but by Yeshua's Gzeir with Amutarim. And the next halacha, he said that David was then Gozer Alim, and that's why they're eternally forbidden. If you stop here, and therefore I should not have given you just this Rambam, if you stop here, then you'll be thinking, the Rambam holds that Nesinim Amutab is Manazeh? No, just you read the next Rambam. But the point is that he clearly holds like Rashi, that Shiva Amamim or Mutar Min HaTorah. Okay. Now, let's take a look at the Ramban. Ramban first quotes Rashi, and then he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. And I just wanted to, before we go to the big print, there are a couple of observations I wanted to make. In the Ramban, if you go to I mentioned yesterday, firstly, you go to four lines from the bottom, four printed lines from the bottom of the Ramban, where it says V'im Tomar in the middle of the lines. This is page 2 of the handout. V'im Tomar Ihachi Tikshilan. You have it, Yudi?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
V'im Tomar Ihachi Tikshilan, whereof the Meikar the Amar Begi Rutan Sharu.
So, what is this Kasha, firstly? It's a question that Tosfos asked as well. That if Rabbeinu Tam is correct that all these Mishnayos that say Ger, Anosin and Mamzer are both to Oraisa, so what was Rava and the Lishna Kama thinking? So Tosos commented that this is at least a little bit of a support for Rashi that you could read the Mishnayos that way, because clearly Rava and the Lishna Kama must have been thinking that all the cases where it says Nasin, it's just Aga Mamzer. But the Ramban asked the same question, and what does he answer? My neidok alei. What does the Ramban say? Yes, Alex?
Basically, Rava made a mistake.
Right, but he says it in an interesting way. He said, you're worried about how Rava would have done with the Mishnayos? Rava misread the Pasuk. So don't worry about the Mishnayos. If he can misread the Pasuk, he could have forgotten the Mishnayos. So that's what he means. He says, La milsahi, it's not Akasha. The Chavan de Mikra Gufe Hadadei. Right, now he went back on his reading of the Pasuk. He said, I read the Pasuk wrong. So, what kasha is he going to ask against him? Right? He couldn't get the Aleph Beis. You're worried about Kufreshin and Tuf. That's what I think the Ramban means. It's a very clever way of answering. It's like, and it undermines that defense of Rashi. Okay, that's a very funny line. It's like, you know, Zil Kri Be Rav he didn't get, and you're worried about the Mishnayos. Okay. Therefore, but read the next line, Lefikach. But even though David was goes there to make them, even for Rabbeinu Tam, even though they were David was goes there Leim Shibur, and that they're not free Gerim, they're enslaved Gerim. So, so you're going to ask the question. So then, why aren't they allowed to marry? They should be like a shifcha. So he says, Umihu adifi mishifcha. No, Nesinim are better than a shifachos in that regard. Why? So that was the point I was making earlier, that once a person is a Yisrael ben Chorin, a Ger ben Chorin, whatever your Yuchos status is, you cannot become an Eved because you cannot get a Kinyan HaGuf on that person. Sometimes we may use the term instead of Kinyan HaGuf, what we'll call a Kinyan Isser. So a Kinyan Mamon versus Kinyan Isser. You cannot get a Kinyan Isser on a free Jew, and therefore, even though you can be Gozer to make the Sinim Avadim, they're not real Avadim. Adin?
Could it just be that he's stating the fact that it's not that you can't have a Kinyan HaGuf, it's that by Nesim there isn't one.
So I'm just, I pointed out to you the Gemara in Gittin on Daf Lamed Ches, so it's really Beferish.
Okay.
Right, in other words, the Ramban is not just saying that they didn't make the Gzera that way, he's saying that it cannot happen. You're right, you could read it otherwise just with the Ramban. Zach?
Is the Ramban getting a svara for why Shvachos are
have no Knas, but in Asina. If Dov, in other words, it's funny, here he's actually, Tosus discussed this in the Rashi, but Ramban has discussed it in Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rabbeinu Tam, bottom line is, they made it, Rabbeinu Tam says, what was the Gzera? Avdus. There was no Chasus. That's the Asur Min HaTorah. So if they made them Avadim, why do they have a Knas? Avadim, Shvachos don't get a Knas. So Ramban said, no, because they're not really Shvachos.
It's only true for Shvachos who are currently Shvachos.
Mishukharis, no, firstly, they're not Mishukharim.
That's what I'm saying. Why would you
make a chiluk
between svaros for the din is that once she's a
shivcha,
she no longer has a
knas. Correct, but Ramban is saying that only if you're really a shivcha, not if you're fake
shivcha. But it's not true in the din. The din is that if you are a mishuferes, you also don't have a knas.
Oh no, but the point is mishuferes, let's say for a different reason, doesn't have a cheskas besula.
But in Nesina,
what? Not in Nesina. Nesina has a cheskas besula, because they're not putz and barayas.
I'm trying to give a svar for why a shifcha has no knas.
No. The Ramban is trying to explain why, if a shifcha has no knas, why is it that a Nesina does have a knas? The answer is because a shifcha is really a shifcha. He doesn't, and therefore she's psula. He doesn't say why. Whereas a Nesina is not really a shifcha. And if you're not really a shifcha, then you can have knas.
But that's not the reason that a shifcha doesn't have a knas.
He doesn't really say why either. He just says the difference between a shifcha who's a shifcha and a Nesina who's a shifcha is that a shifcha is kind of kinyan aguf, a Nesina is not.
But what about, so why don't you ask about a Nesina and a shifcha mishukharis?
No, the shifcha mishuchareres lost her knas when she was a shifcha at a certain point.
It's only if she's three days.
Right, she already lost it. You don't get it back. Once you're thrown out of the category, you don't get it back.
So why is that different than Nesina? Why should she not get a knas when Nesina should get a knas?
No, the point is Nesina never lost the knas. The Nesina never lost it. Only Avadim, when they were Avadim, because they were assumed to be Putz and Barayas, only then did they lose the Knas, and when they're freed, you still don't get the Knas because you assume that Apacheskas Pasulas. But Nesinim...
Why was, is this the Svar of Kinyan and Guf? That doesn't matter. The fact that she was a Shichol once, there should be no chiluk between a Shichol and Shicharis and not a Shichol.
No, so I can fill in a Hesber. The Ramban doesn't spell this out. But the reason why, part of the reason why a shivcha is why avada mishvachas are putz and barayus. You see, the Rishonim say this, and the Gemara implies this, actually in Gittin, is that because they don't have opportunities of marriage. The way you keep them from being putz and barayus is by getting married. But since we don't have marriage by an evident shivcha, so they're putz and barayus. If you free a shivcha, she will no longer be putz and barayus. But for purposes of knas, as long as she was a shivcha at an age where she could have lost her basulim, the chazaka is that she lost her basulim. So that, and why is that a shivcha has no kiddushin, and there's no marriage? Because gufa kanui la'adon. That's why. You could explain the Ramban that way. That is the explanation of why a shivcha has no knas, why she is simply not a basula, because she has no opportunity for marriage, because gufa kanui la'adon. It's that kinyan iser that makes an avadam and shvachos ineligible for marriage. I don't know if you have to say that. I'm not as bothered by your question, but if you want, you can say it that way.
Can't she still be eligible for marriage when you live under the same category as like a katana, who could still be like,
they didn't institute midrabanan. They never instituted midrabanan. I'll peep shot. I mean, I think that again, it's hard to know which came first, the chicken or the egg. But they still haven't figured that out yet. But the clearly culturally speaking, avadim and shvachos were not well behaved people. It's not true just with respect to Arias. Avadim, were known to be ganavim. Slavery is a bad institution, even if you have no morals. Even if all you care about is economics, slavery is a very bad institution. And this issue has been studied. Indentured servitude is a much more economically efficient institution. Slavery is a bad institution because the slaves have no incentive.
Eventually they get free, though, it's not terrible.
What?
But then you don't have the eternally the moist work to do.
What are you talking about? Indentured servants have incentive to work efficiently and to earn their way out. Avadim have no such incentive.
But then you lose out on the whole kids thing.
I know. So you get more lazy workers who don't want to work because they have no incentive. But the indentured servant will work efficiently because he wants to go free. This is an issue. But this is an issue that's been studied. Right? There's a whole shy list why they didn't use indentured servants in the South and why slavery. It's a whole interesting, but the malaria vector. That's a book about it. I don't know if it's true or not. So the bottom line is Avadim were Prutzim generally, not just Arayas. So therefore, the Chachamim did feel, in the same way they did, the reason that, and they therefore, why is there no Kiddushim by a Shota? There is by a Cheresh, not by a Shota, because the assume is that a Shota is not going to stay within the confines of the marriage, and you're undermining the institution of marriage. By the same token, creating institution of marriage for the Avadim who are going to violate it undermines the institution of marriage, so they didn't. Right. Now, Chachamim were not Masake and Kiddushin midrabanan in situations they felt where the marriage would not like wholly hold. So, if culturally speaking, the Avadim, there was a certain slave culture, at least in the time of Chazal.
But isn't it even like even a shifta?
Yeah, no difference. Avadim, no difference. Avadim,
wow.
Yeah, no difference.
But even if you saw your daughter into slavery.
We're talking about shifta kananis here, not Am Evriya. Not Am Evriya. Daniel? Oh, you want me to stop? Okay. Okay, so fine. So on Sunday we will. I'm probably going to send you more makoros. I assume we will get to them. And Sunday we're going to go over the rest of the Ramban and the Meiri, and then certainly by Monday we should start to talk about the Samaritans. Okay.